Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jose Albino, your life and empowerment coach. Welcome to tonight's show. I am your host for this evening and every other Wednesday here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and in some instances, our sister network, the International Life Coach Radio Network as well. And I'm hosting the show today from the great city of New York. If this is your first time listening to my show, I'm just going to give you a little bit of my background, which I usually do at the beginning of the show. My name is Jose Albino. I'm a certified life and empowerment coach that assists clients to remove the blocks that prevent them from living the life that they desire. As a trained psychotherapist and life coach, I fuse modalities, tools, and techniques from both disciplines, both counseling and coaching, to assist clients create concrete and sustainable shifts in their lives. Professionally, I have worked in higher education and held several CBOs, community-based organizations, and I have worked in the nonprofit sector as a senior manager for over 15 years, specifically in the field of gerontology. I'm completely fluent in Spanish, and I hope to bring this exciting discipline to the Spanish-speaking community in the near future in different capacities, and also including here on the International Life Coach Radio Network, which is a sister network to Life Coach Radio Network. As always, I want to thank you and acknowledge you for joining us this Wednesday evening, the first week of September. Thank you for joining us wherever you may be. Can you believe it? We are in September, and while quite not literally, the summer is considered over for so many. School has started for many and will be starting for others. I love this time of year because of me, it kind of marks a new beginning to start over, to reboot, to re-strategize. It's kind of a seasonal new year for me. In any event, I hope that everyone had a great summer and are welcoming the new coming season with open arms and lots of new and exciting opportunities and blessings. So welcome to all to Purposeful Conversations, my monthly radio show where I speak to ordinary people about the triumphant and extraordinary personal stories. Today, we have an exciting show and an exciting guest for you. With us, we have Anne Jenrette Thomas, also a coach, who will talk to us about her personal journey of working as an attorney and the reasons she walked away from her prestigious and high-paying career over 4 years ago in order to live in her purpose. I will give her an opportunity to introduce herself in a few minutes, but before we officially begin the show, as usual, if you've listened to the show before, I usually like to set the tone for the show by referencing some quotes that will put the listeners in what I call the zone, some quotes that really speaks to the conversation that we were having for the show, particularly for this evening, and also give individuals a couple more minutes to join us. So the first quote is, "Achievement of your happiness is the only moral purpose of your life, and that happiness, not pain or mindless self-indulgence, is the proof of your moral integrity, since it is the proof and the result of your loyalty to the achievement of your values." The second one is actually by a friend in my head, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And he stated that when I chased after money, I never had enough. When I got my life on purpose and focused on giving of myself and everything that arrived into my life, then I was prosperous. Again, when I chased after money, I never had enough. When I got my life on purpose and focused on giving of myself and everything that arrived into my life, then I was prosperous. I have two more, and this is by Napoleon Hill. "There is one quality which one must possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants and a burning desire to possess it." Again, there is one quality which one possess to win, and that is definiteness of purpose, the knowledge of what one wants and a burning desire to possess. And the last one is by comedian Ellen DeGeneres, and she stated, "I work really hard at trying to see the big picture and not getting stuck an ego. I believe we're all put on this planet for a purpose, and we all have a different purpose. When you connect with that love and that compassion, that's when everything unfolds. Again, I work really hard at trying to see the big picture and not getting stuck in the ego. I believe we're all put on this planet for a purpose, and we all have a different purpose. When you connect with that love and that compassion, that's when everything unfolds. So there you have it. I hope those words make you think a little bit critically about your life, and just for a moment. And before we officially begin, during our conversation, if you have any comments, questions, please feel free to call us at either questions for myself or for the guest. Please feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And I'll definitely try my best to get to you and get your questions answered. If for some reason you can't listen in and stay with us for the entire show, this show will be archived as all the shows here on Life Coach Radio Network. So you can always come back and go to blogtalkradio.com, search for Life Coach Radio Network, and search for Purposeful Conversations. Also, I post the archive link on my Twitter and social media feed, and I also send it via email to my contacts. So you can always look out for that. I found that a lot of people tend to listen to the shows here on Life Coach Radio Network, sometimes at their own convenience, and listen to the archive shows because sometimes time constraints do get in the way. So with that, let's rock and roll. So I met Anne, my guest, actually in undergrad at the University of Albany, where we were both living a student life of service, and we were both involved strongly in student government. So we were both serving as advocates and the voice of underrepresented groups on campus. I went on my journey to graduate school. I was a few years ahead of her, I believe, and she went on her journey to study law. A few months ago, we reconnected, as fate would have it, when I attended an all-day conference, which was actually founded by a good friend of mine that I went to high school with, and she was a featured speaker. Needless to say, again, we are in sync with our personal missions and journeys as entrepreneurs and coaches. So, Anne, thank you for being here, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jose. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm really excited to reconnect with you after all these years.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. So why don't you please introduce yourself and just tell us a little about yourself in the professional sense.
Sure. So I am the CEO and founder of Esquire Coaching, and we are a coaching and consulting firm that is basically like a one-stop shop to help attorneys succeed in life and in their professional world. And prior to becoming a coach and being a business owner, Esquire Coaching is new, but I've been a coach for the last 4 years. And prior to that, I spent about 8 years practicing law, and I had a really prestigious career where I worked with the New York City Council, writing legislation, and then worked with the Honorable Sonia Sotomayor. You know, just had like really a great time in New York and D.C. But then, you know, to go to the purpose of the heart of what we're going to talk about, I made the switch. And I made the switch to be able to move out of the decision to practice law full time into doing something that I felt like was more purposeful. And honestly, Jose, the quotes that you read earlier today at the beginning of this call really resonated with me, because that level of contemplation and letting those messages sink in about living your life on purpose, that was really part of the spark in making the transformation.
So, you know, I know that in this show we're going to talk on different constructs, but let's start with your story of actually entering the field of law and how you eventually, you know, you reference the quotes, but eventually how you made a conscious shift and actually decided, made the decision to make a purpose-driven career choice from law to coaching. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Sure. It was, you know, it's kind of funny. In college, I mean, you and I were in college together. I was very much an activist, very much interested in trying to make a difference and wanting to have a positive impact on this world. And I did that primarily through student government and looking for ways to make sure that higher education was accessible to all. And that was amazing. And then I realized, okay, here I am. I'm just a college kid. I don't, you know, I want to still make a more of an impact with legislators and with politicians and do more, but maybe they're not taking me seriously enough. And so I thought, okay, well, let me go to law school. Let me go, you know, there's so many great civil rights attorneys and so much good stuff can happen if you learn the law and apply it the right way. And so that was my intention. You know, I went in thinking that I can make a difference. Well, once I got in, the reality kind of set in, which is, oh my gosh, there's like $100,000 of student loans that I have to repay, you know, and what am I going to do, you know, to pay this payment and also try and make a living? And when I was in the law, I kind of got exposed to what a prosperity lifestyle can be like. And I liked it. You know, I liked being able to go out to restaurants and maybe getting a nice suit and, you know, just being able to enjoy some of those things. And so so I couldn't, well, at least at that time, I didn't make the decision to go and pursue something that was more civil rights oriented. I ended up deciding to go and follow like the most prestigious path that I could follow, which was to work at the courts, which was the second one layer down from the U.S. Supreme Court, to give all the non-lawyers a sense. But you know what's funny, and I think if your audience is listening to this and maybe even being called to this particular program, there was this gnawing. You know, there was just this gnawing at me. And it wasn't something external. It was totally within me. And I was just sort of like, hey, Anne, you know you're not really doing what you're supposed to do, right? Like, you know this is not it. And so I thought, okay. And I hopped around within the law. I was, you know, I worked in government. I worked at the law firms. I tried all these different pieces, almost like that the Goldilocks story. Like, oh, this doesn't fit quite right. Oh, you know, let me try this. But no matter what, it just that gnawing didn't go away until one day I really got quiet and I started this process, this journey to say, okay, what do I really want to do? What is it that's really calling me at a soulful level? What am I supposed to do? And I narrowed it down through a soul-searching process, real contemplation, really thinking about things, getting books like What Color Is Your Parachute and all those other, you know, career books. And I sat there and I after some soul-searching, I narrowed it down to four fields. I was like, okay, I could be a therapist, I could be a coach, I could be a politician, or I could be a minister. those are sort of my four pathways of being able to help people, you know, on an individual level, but still make a big impact. And then there are no accidents, right? So one day I think I was working probably a 60 or 70 hour week or something at the law firm and feeling very restless and dissatisfied with not doing and not living my life on purpose. And so I started Googling unhappy lawyer.
Oh, wow.
As I Googled unhappy lawyer, I come across this website that's written by a coach who was a lawyer, and she references the coach training school that she went to. And in that process, I was like, okay, let me look that up. I look it up, and lo and behold, they were starting their foundational course that weekend in the city that I was living in at the time, D.C. And I went and I was like, this is it. This is the perfect marriage between being able to use my logical brain and my emotional, you know, being able to help people emotionally as well. And that was it. That's when my path really began.
So I just want to back up a little bit. So basically, you just felt emotionally, your body was just telling you certain something, whether it be your spirit, whether called people call it their spirit, their intuition. There was a part of you that was telling you that what you were doing is not really what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like in particular, the best way I know how to describe it is I just felt restless. You know, like, something's just not right. Something's just not fitting. And it just, no matter how many times or how many permutations I had within the law, it just, it wasn't quite right. It would be good temporarily because to me, you know, almost all change is kind of exciting and new and distracting at first. And so it would feel good temporarily, but then it would kind of sink in. I was like, this isn't quite it either. But if for those of you who might be listening to this and you have that sense, like something's off or you're restless or you keep having this desire to keep looking for something else, that to me is a signal that, okay, you know, there's a calling, there's a purpose that you're not quite living up to at the moment. And that's what that's about.
And that's very understandable. I'm sure that people are listening, and those who will be listening, I'm sure a lot of people are in that position. I know once you get a certain age, or I've spoken to people that once they're getting older, they just really want to live on purpose. And, of course, you have external variables in your life that prevent you from listening to that voice or that thing, or we call it intuition, I would say spirit. And in your case, it's very interesting because in you being of a particular culture where the career choices you are expected to enter are few and very much already outlined, how did your decision to walk away from practicing law play out within your family and or culture?
That's such a great question. So just to give everybody a little bit of background, I'm Indian and born to immigrant parents who immigrated about a year before I was born. And, you know, in Indian culture, you basically, from the time you're born, you're basically told that you have three options for a career. You could be a lawyer, you could be a doctor, or you can be an engineer. And that's pretty much it. And so the decision to leave this prestigious career of being a lawyer, and one that the community and everybody understood and that my parents could really take pride in, you know, they could say to all their friends, oh, yeah, my kid, she's a lawyer, you know.
That's right.
But to move from that to something that they had never really heard of, that made no sense, that had no high ticket price tag, you know, affiliated with it, it did not go over well. In fact, to this day, it doesn't go over well.
It doesn't fit
honest.
Well.
No. But that might be true for them, but it's just, but it fits well for me.
So what would you say was supportive of your decision?
No, no, not at all. My parents are, first of all, I forgot to mention I'm an only child. So the only child of immigrant parents, you know, their whole, and I get it, you know, I don't judge my parents whatsoever. From their perspective, from their worldview, you know, they gave up everything to come to this country so that we can make it, so that their child can have everything imaginable that they never had opportunities for. You know, my dad doesn't have a college degree. You know, my mom went to nursing school, and they really struggled to make it. So for them, it's like, you know, how could you even think of something else? But, you know, you have a psychology background, and what is it? Is it the Maslow's, the pinnacle that talks about, like, where you move beyond survival, right? And you're really trying to move into a place of self-actualization. So I think from my parents, who they were still in survival mode, you know, they were so used to and ingrained in that way that it never occurred to them that there was something about happiness or joy, right, that you can make decisions that are based on that versus what's going to help ensure your survival. So I feel blessed to have been born to parents that were able to provide the survival rate for me so that I can get to the next level, so I can actually be the kind of person that focuses on, okay, what's my joy? What's my passion? What am I really here to do? If that makes sense.
Well, that does. I mean, it does. I mean, as also the child of immigrant parents, I mean, sometimes they have this life for you in their head that they want you to live. And, of course, they made sacrifices, you know, so you can live a life that perhaps they couldn't for whatever reason. So I totally get mm-hmm. it, you know, the sacrifices and the stories. And, you know, sometimes our parents, they have this life for us that they in their mind already made up that for us to lead. And when that doesn't happen, there's some discourse there. So I definitely get that. Now, you know, so we have the cultural and the family issue. And also, you know, today in the work environment, particularly corporate America, it's simply a scandal if people don't work as late as others or take their ladder vacation or, God forbid, to go to your lunch hour. As far as your colleagues in the field of law, what were their responses when you announced that you were leaving the field altogether?
You know, they were kind of varied. Some people thought I was just crazy. They didn't understand it. And I think also kind of in the back of their minds, it was, well, you know, you went to school for all these years. You paid all this money. I mean, why are you leaving? And then for other people, I think they just got it. You know, they got that there was something more and bigger that I could feel within me, that I wanted a shot at making happen. And so for those, and usually those are people that I tended to be closer with, you know, the colleagues that I worked with more closely or really developed more of a friendship with. And they were the ones that were like, okay, we get it. And in fact, some people, you know, a few years later have followed suit. Not necessarily with coaching, but I've had more than one person come up to me and say, you know what, you know, thanks for showing me that it was possible to leave and I didn't have to be tethered to this profession when I didn't want to be. So that's really satisfying.
So it's interesting because it sounds to me that there was a bit of judgment or a bit of maybe whispers or eyebrows risen. But it sounds like you were also in the position to not necessarily, quote, inspire you, but you kind of modeled some type of behavior for the people that you're referencing now that eventually made some career choice, different career choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did happen. You know, I think that's the beauty that happens when all of us decide to live authentically or live on purpose, you know, that there's this great Marianne Williamson quote that basically says that when you give yourself permission to let your own light shine, you unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. You know, it's
totally.
Like, oh, yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And sometimes people don't know that they're doing it or they don't know who they're inspiring. And that's why I'm so thankful that you're on the show, you know, because some people may not know people who are going through this journey, who went through this journey and that they had family and cultural or judgments or that they don't know that that's definitely going to exist, you know, that that's definitely a reality. But then the other piece of it is that, you know, that quote that you referenced from Marianne Williamson, because sometimes when you follow your own internal light, you're actually sometimes, if not all the time, lighting a path for other people to follow suit as well.
Absolutely. And there's such great reward in that. You know, I know, for example, sometimes people make decisions to stay in jobs that they're miserable in because they're making a lot more money. well, okay, maybe you're making a lot more money, but you don't get to go home and be with your kids. Or even if you are with your kids, you're kind of, you know, married to the BlackBerry or the cell phone because you have to be responsive. And I think, personally, this is just my opinion, but I feel like that whole quote about letting other people's light shine as well, equally, if not more, applies to those who are closest to you. You know, when you are living on purpose, when you are doing something that you love, even though it's hard, it's because, let me tell you, when you do something that you love, it doesn't mean that it's like, oh, all cherry pie all the time. You
right,
know, there's still hard work. There's still uphills that you are going to have to face. But you're a better person for it. And you are more present. You have more capacity to be happier and more present with those that you love, like your children, your spouse, etc. So I firmly believe that as challenging, as difficult as making the decision to take the leap might be, that do it, you know, do it, because there's no greater reward for yourself and for those that you love and that love you than to see you that happy and watching it all kind of unfold in this beautiful, sometimes chaotic way. But it's so meaningful. It's so meaningful.
I completely agree. Completely agree with you. I couldn't agree more. My next question for you is, you know, it's hard. Let's acknowledge that, right? The decision is hard. There's uphill battles. There's beauty within the context of where you're speaking about how you influence, or your light is so big that you can light other people's paths with those around you. But within the context of judgments and whispers, whether it be from a cultural standpoint, familial, societal, what kept you headstrong and made you stand in your decision?
You know, I wish I could say that I always felt confident in my decision. I didn't. You know, I had so many moments when I doubted, especially when, you know, there were no clients, or the clients weren't enough, and I was scared. You know, I remember on more than one occasion that I would sit there and I'd be like, God, you know, I took the leap. I'm doing it. You know, I'm living my life on purpose. How come I'm not earning the money that I thought I should be earning, or, you know, having that luxury lifestyle or whatever it is that I wanted? And I just get so discouraged. But the bottom line is, you know, I kept focusing on this is what I'm meant to do. Like, in my heart of hearts, I know that I am supposed to help people in a large way. And I know that it is not by filling out contracts or helping them with litigation. I know it's not that kind of help. I know it's about transforming their lives for the better so that they can be the best version of themselves, so that whatever roadblocks they have to being great, that they are finally lifting that. I know in my heart that that's what I'm supposed to do. And so I've dedicated my life to that. And even though it's hard, and there are times when I do cry, and there are times when I am frustrated, but if I didn't do this, I would fail myself. And I would fail the purpose that I know was put in my heart by what I call God. And I'm not willing to do that. Because at the end of the day, you know, who do you have to answer to? Who do you have to live with? You. And that inner voice, you know, and so for me, that's if there's one thing that kind of kept me going, is that this rock solid inner belief that this is what I'm supposed to do.
And it's funny because I have several questions for you, and I wanted to jump within my personal account. You know, you talk that that those statements that you just made leads me to ask you, you know, how important is it for you or for a person you believe to live a life of authenticity and purpose?
I think it's paramount. I honestly do. You know, I think we're all unique and we're created with something special that we are supposed to put forth in this world. We all have that. Now, I don't know what that something special is for each and every person. That is a self-discovery process. But if you don't do it, right, if you hide from it, if you try to run away from it, then you're not serving the world. You're not serving yourself. You will not be able to experience all that you are supposed to experience in this lifetime. And you know, frankly, because I did try to run away from this. You know, I felt like a calling inside of me to be a leader from the time that I was in college and that I first knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, I remember being scared. I remember thinking that, you know, I was supposed to be this big leader and kind of getting that premonition or that, I don't know, that feeling. And then the images that I had were of Martin Luther King and Gandhi. And then I thought, I'm tired of sacrificing. I don't want to die a young death. I don't want to lose my whole life to be just in service. And so I tried to run away, you know, and in part, the decision to go to law was in some ways, okay, this is a safer way for me to contribute. But that gnawing was still there. So I really believe that when you have a calling, when you have something that you're supposed to do, and we all have it, and when you're not living it, that there's going to be this restlessness, this discord, this disconnect within you that is saying, you're still not doing it. You're still not doing it. And that piece is going to keep at it until you make a decision to go toward it, you know, to actually embrace this purpose. So I do think being authentic is paramount.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, I mean, I think it's like that thing that says, you know, you at some point you're going to listen, right? So, and I'm glad you mentioned about everyone's journey or everyone when they're going to really listen to that voice. Everyone is, it's different, so you can't tell anyone, you know, at which point they should listen or what they should do. But everyone has their own journey, has their own story. And it's interesting, as you were talking, I was thinking about that quote that, you know, whether you believe in God or the universe or just the higher power, that sometimes it whispers, you know, and it just keeps on whispering. And sometimes it's going to hit you upside your head. And it sounds like, you know, you just, for you, it just came at a different point than perhaps somebody who's listening that's not ready to yet make the decision, but it at least can start planting the seeds, if you will. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You don't have to take huge steps right away. You don't have to leap right away. It's just make that, start by making that inner resolve. Like, okay, I know that I'm supposed to do something, and I'm committed to at least finding out what that might be. You know, you make that inner commitment first, and then slowly, just like a treasure hunt, you know how you don't get all the clues right off the gate. You have to find one piece, and then the next clue is revealed, and then you go to that next piece, and then the next clue is revealed. Well, that's what happens when you say yes to your life purpose. You know, you start that treasure hunt by first saying to yourself, "All right, yes."
When you take that step, you know.
Yes.
I want to say, you know, I found that people believe that drastic life-changing decisions are easy to make, and I appreciate your candidness with your story, because you've referenced that, yes, it's not an easy thing to do, but for you, it's something that you needed to do for you. So some people think life-changing decisions are easy to make, whether changing careers, leaving a partner, moving to another city, and that folks just get up one day and do it. And, you know, some may very well do. How important is doing the work, right, when a life-altering decision is being considered? And did you do the work on yourself prior to making change, or this particular change?
That's such a great question. I have been doing the work on myself for years, 18 years of being a dedicated person to my, you know, to my personal and spiritual evolution. And that has taken so many forms, from therapy to coaching to retreats to self-help books to audios to different healing modalities. You name it, I think I've tried it or, you know, explored it on some level. And I think that you have to do the work, you know. I mean, I might be biased here. I am a coach after all.
Right.
But I personally think that you have to do the work on yourself so that you can be a better person, so that you're not making the same kinds of mistakes. You're not making the same kinds of decisions. You're actually evolving and becoming a better version of yourself. And that's so worth it. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Jose? You're a coach. You see the transformation all the time.
I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, one of the reasons why I asked that question, you know, and within the context of your story, and this really applies to whether you want to, like I mentioned, whether to change careers, just moving to another city, whether, you know, whether it be a small thing or a large thing. I think that, you know, I found in many conversations, not necessarily with clients, that, you know, people think that you just want to one day get up and make a decision and do it. I think that for me, as a you know, as an individual, a trained therapist and a coach, I think that there comes a time when you really have to become introspective, right? When you really have to do what we call the work, where you have to, you know, do some self-discovery. You really, you know, have to invest in yourself, whether it be, you know, whether it be therapy or whether it be a yoga retreat, whether it be, you know, just something that is speaks to your self-development, right? Not something that speaks to buying the latest bags or going to the latest hotspot. Like, you know, really investing in yourself. And I think that in return, whatever it is that you're thinking of doing or whatever it is that's going on in your life, you're going to see it through a different lens. Again, whether it be changing careers, whether it be leaving a partner or finding a partner or choosing a partner or moving to another city or whatever it is, I think that when you do the work, when you really focus in the things that really develop yourself, your inner being, who you are, that eventually, you know, you're going to see life or situations through a different set of lenses. And I think that that's when people begin to make different choices than people who perhaps haven't done the work, or perhaps the individual can, I know that I can tell who I was prior to doing some work, that I think back, I'm like, wait a minute, I used to see that situation differently. But because of the work that I'm doing and I continue to do, and everyone, again, even doing the work is at different situations and levels, that yes, it's like taking one pair of glasses and then putting on a different one, and you can see that there's a difference between the two. So totally, I agree 100% with you. 100%. And you referenced, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and even though it may seem quick for some people, you actually never know what all the foundational work was for that person that made it appear like at the end it was a quick thing. Like, I know, for example, you know, people thought I left the law very quickly, and I can understand why they thought that, but the reality is I had several years of kind of wrestling with it. To different levels before I made that final jump.
And it's interesting. Yeah. It speaks to the notion that you don't know someone else's story. That's why judgment is not a good thing. You know, if this individual who may be more successful in someone's eyes, or, you know, I tell you a story. I was mentioning to you before the call that I was doing yoga and Bikram. You know, all these people were doing all these poses, and, you know, it was, and of course, I felt you get a little bit, wow, like, what am I doing wrong? It wasn't until the teacher started speaking that he's been doing this for 10 years. And then, you know, he started talking about stories about people. So it's kind of like you are in your own story. You are doing your own thing, so you can't really compare yourself to other people and what they're doing, because they don't know what it took to get them where they're at today. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. That's so true. So true.
You never know the person's backstory. Never. Now, I was going to segue into, you know, again, walking away from that field that you referenced before, thousands and thousands of dollars spent in school to study immense hours and study groups and such. What I'm interested in knowing, right, because it's what did your support system look like?
That's good. That's a great question. You know, my support system has changed over time because I think my decisions didn't always resonate with people. And so when it didn't resonate with them, you know, they didn't know how to support me in a way that I needed. And so I have had to go through transitions with friendships or relationships. But what my current support system looks like is I have my wife. She's amazing. She's a really great support system. But also on top of that, I have a couple of solid friends that have known me for a few years. And they are very real with me. They will tell me when I am being out of line or not looking at things realistically. And then I make sure also to have a solid system of supporters in business. So I really try to go and network with different colleagues and build those relationships, not just at the networking events, but, you know, picking up the phone or connecting with them or sending an email and connecting with them so that I can build those relationships. But the one thing I have to say, and I think, you know, for a lot of people, they get freaked out, really scared about the idea of having changes in their relationships. Like, oh my gosh, you know, well, if I make this move, will my husband or my wife be okay with me making this decision? Will it cause strife in the household and so forth? And the fear is very understandable and it makes sense. And at the same time, I want you to know that if you're doing something that is authentically in your best interest, it is truly for your highest purpose, that you will never really be left alone. That somehow, whether you call it God, universe, spirit, whatever you reference it as, somehow there will always be someone or something. Maybe it's a quote that you just needed to hear to give you that extra oomph, you know, or maybe it's a stranger that's willing to just listen to you when you just needed to talk. But there will always be something to provide for you and support you. So as scary as it can be, you know, try to trust that you're going to be well provided for, because honestly, you will be.
You just answered my next question, which, and I appreciate that because it's true. It's like, you know, it's very hard to really step into a situation where it's scary. It's very difficult to step into a situation where you have other stakeholders, you know what I'm saying, that will be affected, whether it be children or wife or husband. And that I can see how it can be difficult for someone to kind of, you know, take the leap or step into faith. But like you mentioned before, you can take small steps to start moving towards a direction that you want to move, whatever that direction may be. And, you know, it's interesting. I know you and I were having a conversation, and I do recall one of the things that we talked about is, and I think that really resonated with me in terms of small things that I want to do, and I wanted to share with you again and with the listeners. It's like, you know, when someone complains about something, whether they complain about their boss or they complain about their weight or they complain about their coworker or they complain about how much money they're not making, in essence, what they're saying is that there is a better solution or there is mm-hmm. a better way. There's something better, right? That's what complaining is. You're complaining because the situation is not up to par for you, which means that there's a solution that you are aware of. So it's just a matter of stepping into that particular solution. And step, you know, not everyone is going to leap, not everyone's going to, you know, take that jump. But as you mentioned before, you can definitely take a step. Okay. Whatever that step may be, it can be, you know, it can be reading a book if you want to be a chef, or it can be making a commitment to watching the Food Network for 2 hours a week, or whatever the case may be. I think people have this misconception that wanting to create a draft, you know, a change in your life means that it has to be from 0 to 100 as opposed to 0 to 2 or 0 to 3. But I think you did answer the question in terms of, you know, there's people who are listening there. They're lawyers or they're social workers, whatever they are, in their spirit that they want to leave their career and begin living the life that they really believe they were put here to lead, but are scared, you know, scared of what people might say, scared of not making enough money, scared of failure. And I know that you talked a little bit about some of the nuggets of inspiration. Would you like to share a little bit more in terms of what would you say to those individuals who want to make changes but are fearful of doing it?
Yeah, sure. First of all, before I say something, I just want to say how I love your take on complaining. I think that is such a refreshing, totally on the money point. And I think if we can get more people to acknowledge their complaining and then just reframe the way that they're thinking about it so that they can be more powerful and move into action, you know, brilliant. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
And to go back to your question about what I would tell the person who in their spirit, in their soul, they just know that they're supposed to be doing something different, but they're afraid. The first thing I would say is just make the commitment to yourself, right? Like really do a little self-reflection to think about, okay, is this real? You know, is this really true? Is this a knowing inside of me that I need to do something different, or is it me trying to escape? You know, is it me just being unhappy and looking for a way out? So once you get clear and you know that, yes, for sure, this is me, it's a calling, I need to do something different, then make the commitment to go for it. You know, just let it start with an internal commitment, a promise to yourself that you will move forward in that direction. Nobody's telling you at this time how quickly or slowly, but just make that commitment. And then the next piece is, yeah, the fear is there. So I tell my clients all the time, set a date at which point your pity party and your fear-mongering ends. So if you have this dream, give yourself till Sunday to bask in all the fear and say, okay, all the fear can come up until Sunday, but come Monday morning, that's it. I am moving forward in the direction of my dreams. And you would be surprised that just giving yourself that space and then having like a firm deadline to say, all right, no more pity party, no more fear, I'm taking steps. However baby they may be, I'm taking steps. And you will be surprised that one step
that.
At a time.
I mean, I really loved that piece of you know giving yourself an opportunity to have a peer party or to sit in this victim space, and saying, okay, you can marinate in it for a while, but you're gonna have to get out of it and you know, set yourself a day to do that. But as you were you know, talking, I realized that, you know, within the context of a conversation, fear is a double-edged sword, right? Because you either think, well, if fear is going to be present, if I do make a choice, if I finally go through with it, there's still going to be fear, right? Fear, it's your approach to fear, you know, how strongly in the face are you going to look at it? You know, are you going to smile at it? But I think that with fear, it's a double-edged sword within the context, because if you don't do what you know you should be doing in your spirit more intuitively, if you don't do that, then there's still going to be fear, because you're going to be fearful of the things that could have happened and didn't happen. And if you do go through with it, there's still going to be fear on the other side. So either way you look at it, fear is going to rear its ugly head in both contexts. It's just, I think, the attitude and the approach with which you decide to really stare fear in the face and the conversation you're going to have with fear. So that's what came to my head.
And frankly, I mean, if we're going to be really honest, when you say yes to your big dream, the fears get bigger. You know, the self-sabotaging piece gets bigger, right? So if you got a big dream, you can expect to have an equally big fear or saboteur that you have to face. So you might as well have a strategy like the one I just said. Give yourself a time limit to have your little part, your fear party, your pity party, but then be done. So and the reason why I say to acknowledge it is because too many people try to move forward by ignoring their fear and, you know, just not giving it any space. And then what happens is they end up sabotaging themselves even more so, you know, because it's almost like vicious, like a violent sabotage, right? This way, if you're acknowledging it, if you're giving it space, if you are seeing, if you're actually trying to listen for what is your fear trying to tell you, because it's always there to try and protect you in some way, well, maybe once you listen to it, you can find a healthier alternative, you know, to address that same challenge that your fear is trying to help you address. So I would say, you know, just be prepared for it. Have that strategy and then keep moving because great things are waiting for you.
Good. That's a great point. I wanted to ask a couple of more questions for you. You know, looking back in the past couple of years or in terms of your choices or being an entrepreneur, is there anything that you would do differently, is there anything that you would do differently, you think, if anything?
Oh, my God. I would so do so many things differently.
I love it.
I would. Okay, so, you know, very ambitious me. I was in the middle of coach training, and I basically left a very lucrative legal career with about 2 months of savings in the bank and thinking, okay, you know, I can, I'll be able to have a full client load in, you know, in 6 to 8 weeks, like no problem. Yeah, that's not exactly how businesses operate. And there's plenty of evidence about that. Like the Small Business Administration tells you, hey, it takes about 3 to 5 years for most small businesses to, you know, get to profitability and so forth. And so what I would do differently is I would plan better. You know, I would have stayed in the law firm environment, continued with my coach training, but simultaneously start working on my business, you know, create a business plan, create some structure under the safety net of having a full-time job. And then because there will be a tipping point, you know, in your business. That does happen. And when I feel that tipping point come through, then I would have leapt fully. I think that's probably what I would have done differently. The other thing I would tell everybody is most of us are really great at whatever it is that we're passionate about, right? So for me, it's coaching. I'm a great coach. But I was a really bad business owner, you know, and I didn't realize that. It took me 4 years of failing up to finally realize, got it. Now, that's how you do, you know, finances for a business. That's how you market and sell. I get it. I think give yourself that space and time, particularly if you're not from a business setting already, if you're not a CEO of a corporation, if you're not, don't have an MBA or something like that. You know, give yourself that time and space to learn how to be a great business owner as well, because that there's a steep learning curve. So I wish I had known that wish I had done that differently.
And that's great. I think that is fantastic and great advice. Again, thank you for your candidness. And it, what I'm hearing is that you could still live a purpose-driven life, live in purpose if you're strategic about it and if there's a strategy behind that, you know, where the notion of just you know, I have faith. You know, I do have faith. I'm a person that, you know, you can't live in fear and faith at the same time. It's just, that's just oxymoronish, mm-hmm. you know. I'm a person that definitely has faith, but I think that you're right. You can have faith in the universe and God that everything will work out, but what I'm hearing is, and what I do believe and I concur, is that there's a strategy behind, you know, you moving forward, like you mentioned, if perhaps you would have stayed at the firm and done this, you know, little by little and then stepped out, I think that that is great advice. And I think a lot of people are going to take that big nugget with them and understanding that you still can live on purpose. And you can still be strategic on doing it. Living on purpose doesn't mean I'm going to leave my job or I'm going to leave this person and then everything's going to happen. The universe is going to work with me. So that's definitely great advice. Now, speaking of being an entrepreneur, I know that you have an exciting venture coming up that I would definitely like for you to share with our listeners. And to me, you know, when I heard about this particular venture that you're doing, to me it was genius how you're really marrying who you were, or you still are, because you're still a lawyer, but your prior full-time discipline with who you are today, and you're still living on purpose. Why don't you share with us a little bit about this particular exciting venture that you will be launching soon?
Oh, my God, I'm so excited, and thank you for this. So we are launching Esquire Coaching, and I mentioned it at the top of the hour, but there is nothing like us. This is a premier coaching and consulting firm that is basically a one-stop shop to help attorneys achieve personal and professional success. And I'm particularly honored because our esteemed host, Jose, is also part of the team. Yay, Jose.
Absolutely.
And I would like to invite everybody, if you are in the New York City area on Wednesday, September 25th from 6 to 8 p.m., we are having a fabulous launch party for Esquire Coaching. We'd love to meet you. And you can learn more about this. It's a free event, you know, so don't worry about it in terms of it not fitting your budget. It definitely does. And you can learn more about it by going to our website, esquirecoaching.com. And if you go onto the events tab, it's the event. Talk about a perfect marriage. I really feel like this is me coming full circle with being able to be a lawyer, understand all the pain points that were involved with work-life balance, wanting to make partner, how do I honor my own diversity and still move forward, and at the same time really creating a space to empower this population that I know needs it. So I'm very excited.
I'm sure you're going to knock it out the box. I think it's definitely... And knowing, you know, lawyers and that world a little bit, I know it's definitely something that is needed. So I definitely wish you luck with that, and I'm so honored to be part of the team.
Yay.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, you know, everything is not for everybody. And my last question to you, and everyone is at different stages in their journey, as you mentioned before, in their life story. What last words would you offer someone who wants to live in purpose, particularly in the context of careers or life in general, but for whatever reason is yet not ready to take the full leap?
The number one thing I want to say to you is take the time to be quiet and really be with yourself and just allow yourself that space to let whatever is truly yours, whatever you're supposed to do, whatever would make your life the most meaningful, give it space to come to the surface. You don't have to make any decisions right now, but just welcome it. And as you do, slowly, things will start to unfold, and then just take it one step at a time. Yeah.
Cool. I know I lost you there for a little bit, but yeah, it sounds to me like you're encouraging people that, geez, you know, awareness is the first step. Be aware of it, honor the fact that this is a decision you want to make or to honor where you're at, and that's probably the first step, and just to welcome that awareness into their lives is perhaps the first step that they can take. Is that
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool. Now, and lastly, I know you referenced your EspireCoaching.com. Is there any way you have an email or something else that the listeners can contact you if they wanted to reach you for any other reason aside for Esquire Coaching and your new venture?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and if you listen to this call, and even if you're not an attorney, but you just want to, you know, reach out and pick my brain, email me at ann@esquirecoaching.com or hit us up on Facebook. We are facebook.com/esquirecoaching, and my Twitter handle is @esquirecoaching. So, you know, pretty much anything Esquire Coaching, you're going to get us.
Cool. Thank you. So, Anne, thank you for being here and sharing your personal story. Excuse me for being so candid. I wish you the best luck moving forward personally and with all of your endeavors.
Oh, thank you. It's been such an honor to be here. You're doing such great work and empowering your listeners, and thank you for this opportunity.
Great. Thank you. You're welcome. So also to the listeners, thank you for being with us and supporting the show and your personal growth. As for me, you can reach me at info@josealbinolifecoach.com. Visit my website at www.josealbinolifecoach.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at @josealbinocoach. And also, please tune in to the next show on Life Coach Radio Network, which will be tomorrow at 7, here on Life Coach Radio Network. And Coach Leanne Parsons, also known as a Walk Your Talk Coach, will be talking about how to boldly let go of all the obstacles that hold you back from fully embracing the life you were created to live. Great. Thank you again, and thank you all for listening. And until next time, and as always, remember that those who got to where they are began where they were. I think this is specific to what we're talking about today, and it's one of my favorite quotes. It's always remember that those that got to where they are began where they were. So whatever you want to accomplish or whatever changes you want to make in your life, big or small, simply take a small step and take action. It's not that hard. I promise. Have a good night. Thank you all.